John chapter number 1 as we dismiss our nursery and junior church at this time. I want to remind you, we do have a tract that I was handing out yesterday with Aaron, and this tract is called The Greatest Sacrifice, and of course it's all about Memorial Day and Memorial Weekend, and so let me encourage you to take some of these and give them out as you go about today and tomorrow, and always have some tracts on you that you can give out wherever you go. Let's take our Bibles and go to John chapter 1, John chapter 3, and we're going to get started here today, and then we'll go to 1 John after that. John chapter number 1 and verse number 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John chapter 3, it says in verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do those miracles, these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Let's pray, and then we'll go on today. Lord, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you now for opportunity to open it and to hear what it says. Help us to hear exactly what your word says, and that we would hear from you, that each heart would be able to hear and to receive, and that you would clear the fog and clear any distractions so that we can have a clear message from you today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In my Sunday school class, I was teaching on the idea of restoration in Psalm 23, and He restoreth my soul. And we were talking about this for a little bit. I want to talk about it again today. The difference between relationship and fellowship. There's a difference between the two. And first of all, we're going to look at relationship. Our relationship cannot change. Once born, you're forever born into that family. You're forever a son or a daughter, a child. And the Bible says in John chapter 1, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons or the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. I have the habit of using the word relationship the wrong way, probably like you do. You might hear someone say, do you have a good relationship with your parents? Well, the truth is, if you were born of your parents, you're related, okay? All right, it's a relation, all right? What we really mean is fellowship, all right? And as an example, I'm born into the Furs family. Tom Furs is my father, and when you stand us up side by side, the resemblance is there. He takes after me quite a bit. You can tell we're related. And, that is a relation that I've had ever since I've been able to think. That's a relation that I've always known about. So that relation comes from a birth. And John chapter 3, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, who was a Jewish ruler, a religious ruler of the Jews. And he was probably a good man in the eyes of people. But Jesus was explaining to Nicodemus that you need to be a saved man. There's a difference between being born once and being born again. And so he says, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Ye, I say unto thee, singular, ye, all of you must be born again. And so that was, of course, the problem that the Jews had even back then. They still have it now. And that is that they think that they are God's people because of a physical birth. The Bible does not teach that, nor indicate that, but rather that we must be born again. And this new birth, this spiritual birth, is spiritual. It is by spirit. The wind bloweth where it listeth. You can see the wind. No, you can't. You can hear the wind, you can see what the wind does, but you can't see the wind. And it's the same with God's Spirit. You don't actually see the Spirit of God, but you can tell when the God's Spirit is moving. You can see something is going on. It's moving. There's something happening. And so that's the spiritual birth. And Jesus says, you must have this spiritual birth. You must be born again. So he gives the power, the ability to become a child of God, one of his sons, one of his children. And so our relationship Once we are saved, it cannot change. It is permanent. It is forever. Romans chapter number 8, there's some other passages we're going to look at in chapter 8 of Romans. Romans chapter number 8. Romans 8 and verse 28. Let's look back up to verse 14. Romans 8, 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Let me tell you something. One of the reasons why I know I'm saved is I have the Spirit of God who is in me. I'm not saying I never grieve Him, because I know I do. But I have the Spirit of God, and that Spirit leads me and helps to guide me into truth. If you see some good things in my life, if you see some good direction in my life, I want to tell you it's the Spirit's leading that it has a lot to do with that. And as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. There's that idea, like born again, being adopted into God's family. Praise the Lord for the spiritual adoption. If it wasn't for adoption, I wouldn't have the benefits that we're going to look at next. I wouldn't have the opportunity and the privilege. But being in the family of God, I am related, and that can't change. You know, there's probably been times when Tom Furs would have liked to have said, no, he's not my kid. But he can't, because I am. And, you know, it could be in our relationship as being born again, there are times where it would seem that maybe we've really messed up. But you know what? No matter what, God does not unrelate Himself from us once we're born again. We are born into God's family, and we're adopted, and we're children of God. And so by adoption, Galatians 4 also talks about adoption. In Romans chapter 8 now, verse 28, that goes on to talk about the Spirit helping us to pray when we don't know how to pray. In verse 28, it says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And so we see here that He has adopted us into God's family. Whom He did foreknow, them he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, them whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Whom He called, them He also justified. Whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I love the last verse there that I read, verse 31. If God be for you, who can be against you? If God is your adopted Father, if you have Him as your Father, who can be against you? What an awesome privilege. If He's your Father, what do you have to worry about? Because He said, I want you to pray this way, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. And unfortunately, many people memorize that prayer and they say, Our Father, but they really aren't His children. They're not adopted. They're not born again. And you might have that prayer memorized and pray it every day of your life, but if you're calling Him Father when He's not your Father, the prayer does you no good. But you and I have the privilege of being His child when we are born again. Those of us who are saved, we are born into God's family, and He is our Father. And because He's our Father, we have the privilege and the opportunity and the assurance of knowing that all things work together for good. We've been talking about Brother Bill getting home in time for Vacation Bible School. But you know what? I have to pray, and I've been praying it this way. God, I want what You want. Because the Father knows better than I know. And that's how we should pray about everything. We should pray everything with understanding that, you know what, God? Heavenly Father, You know more than I do. You know the best purpose, the best plan. You know what needs to happen. I'm going to trust You and let You be the leader and let You show me what's best, because I know You'll work all of it for Your good, for Your glory, and it'll all be better. And so if God be for us, who can be against us? I mean, if God's your Father, You've got it made. I mean, what happens if you get coronavirus 19? I think you'll die and go to heaven if you're saved. In fact, I know you will. What happens when number 20 comes out? And 21. You know what? God's still my Father, so I'll trust Him. I don't have to be afraid. I can trust Him for... Why? all things work together for good. What if God has a nurse that needs to get saved? What if that nurse has a grandma that's been praying for him for years? And what if I get in the hospital bed and that nurse is there and I'm saying, hey, I'm not afraid to die, but how about you? You afraid to die? What if that conversation gets started that way? You say, oh, but God would allow you to go to on your deathbed just to reach someone. Absolutely. Allowed his son to go to a cross to reach a whole bunch of people. I mean, that's our Heavenly Father's mindset. And so all things work together for good. And you think if I died of coronavirus and I'm laying in a bed and I die, but there's a purpose behind it and I'm able to witness to someone and I go to heaven and then that person eventually dies and goes to heaven, we're not going to be crying about coronavirus. We're going to be rejoicing that there was a coronavirus because that's how that whole meeting got put together. You see, most people don't think like that. Most people pretend like they're religious, but when it comes down to it, they don't act like God's their father. God's my Heavenly Father. If God be for us, who can be against us? Hey, you know what? If God be for our country, who can be against us? Maybe he's not for our country. I don't know. But I'll tell you what, the problem isn't him. If there's a problem between you and God, guess who it is? And if God be for us, who can be against us? God's your Father. You've got it made. And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And then I'm down in verse 38, it says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If God is your Father, and you're born again, and you have this relationship, nothing can separate you from his love. Nothing. You can be separated from your earthly family. You can be separated from your wealth. You can be separated from your health. You can be separated from everything else, but you can't be separated from him if he is your father and you're adopted. Praise the Lord for that. The devil might beat on you. The devil might pick on you. The devil might climb up on your shoulder and whisper all kinds of garbage in your ear, but you remind the devil this: I belong to God. I'm his. And no matter what games you play, devil, I can't be separated from my Father. My Father will always know where I am, and he'll always give permission. If anything bad happens to me, it will be only under his watchful eye. I can trust him. John chapter 10, verse 27. We read it this morning in Sunday school. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no man will be able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I have eternal life because I'm adopted into God's family. I don't just have a good life. I don't just have a long life. I have everlasting life because I have been born again and I am adopted into this family. And I'm protected by him. And I have his watchful eye watching out for me. I believe this for such a long time that I don't doubt it. There were times I used to doubt my salvation, just like any Christian probably does at some point in their life. But I don't doubt my salvation. I know I'm saved. I know I'm on my way to heaven. And I know my life everlasting is exactly that. It is everlasting. It's eternal. Therefore, I'm just not worried about how much of this earthly life I get to hang on to. Because the truth is, the sooner I walk into everlasting life, the more I'm going to be happy. Not that I'm not happy now, but I'm not going to be like, oh, I wish I could go back to earth. There's nobody up in heaven saying that. They don't have a post office there, but if they did, they'd send a postcard, having a wonderful time. Wish you were here. They would. It's everlasting life. It's eternal. It's forever and ever. And Christians, we need to behave like we really believe that. All right? I mentioned, I think it was last week, or maybe it was Wednesday, I have an EpiPen I carry with me, except I don't have it on me right now. But I have an EpiPen that I carry with me, and I have stabbed myself with it for probably 12 times at least. That's not, I'm not trying to earn the world's record for doing that. I don't know how many times someone else has used an EpiPen, but I'll tell you what, it races your heart. It's like stomping on the gas pedal of your engine. And I've had some close calls in my life because of an allergic reaction. And I don't enjoy that. And trust me, my wife doesn't enjoy it either. However, it's happened so many times that it's like, well, maybe today's the day I get to see gold streets. Now, I don't say that out loud because my wife didn't like to hear that. You know what I mean? Shut up. You know? But honestly, seriously, one day it will be checkout time. And you know what's going to happen? I'm going to wake up and look into the eyes of my Heavenly Father, into the eyes of my Savior. A week ago, we were praying for Dominic. He passed away last Sunday afternoon after church. I didn't know about it till Sunday evening. But I know for a fact that my friend Dominic's in heaven today. And I talked to him Saturday, a week ago, and he was ready to go. And we prayed together, and I walked out of there knowing I'll see him again. Probably not anymore on this earth in that condition, but we'll see each other again. There will be a reunion going on up in heaven. Now, turn with me over in 1 John chapter 3. I love these verses. 1 John's where we're going to spend the rest of our time. I love these verses. 1 John chapter number 3. Behold, that means take a good look at this. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon you, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. When you're saved, you're just different. You're not just religious. You march to the beat of a different drum. You understand something, and you have something the world doesn't understand. I mean, they understand religion, because anybody can do religion. I mean, I can teach my dog how to look like they're religious. But a human being who's saved, the adoption process, the understanding that I am saved, and I have been born again, and I am adopted into the family of God, that is something that the world can't understand. The world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now, I want to emphasize verse 2. Beloved, that means you are loved. Now are we the sons of God. You are saved, and that means right now you are God's child. Right now. Not someday you'll get to be, but right now you are one of his children. Right now. Now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. This is right here is where I always tease Mr. Spear, except he's gone today. He's probably out of town on vacation, and so I can't tease him. You think that's going to stop me from teasing? I'll tease him anyway. I always say, Mr. Spear, we you know, right now it doesn't appear like you're anything, but one day it will appear. No. Listen, you might tell someone, I'm a Christian, and they look at you like, well, you don't look like much to me. But if you're saved, one day you will obviously be a Christian. Now, I do believe that before most of us die, it becomes obvious there's something different. I believe that most of us, before we die, it becomes obvious there's changes, especially if you were saved as an adult and there's some radical differences between how you behave from your adoption time to what you were like before. Maybe things you used to drink, or things you used to ingest, or things that you used to do, those things start to change. Attitudes change. Desires change. Hopefully, a countenance changes. And people can see some change, but they don't quite understand it. And they might just chalk it up to some religious fanaticism. The Bible says, now we are the sons of God, but it does not yet appear what we shall be. And that's the good news, because it doesn't matter if Joe Blow or Hank or whoever says, well, I don't think you look like a Christian. Aren't you glad that Joe and Hank aren't the judges? And now you are the Son of God. You know, it could be that your whole life growing up, and I'm thinking of someone right now, when they were 12 years old, they were already smoking marijuana. So by the time they were in their 30s, and by the time they were in their 40s, when they got saved, they experienced most everything. And so after their salvation, they struggled for the rest of their saved years with habits that they had. And they would sit with me and say, Pastor, I don't do marijuana, but I still struggle with some of these things. I struggle with the cigarettes, and once in a while I fall off the wagon with the alcohol. And you know what? I learned to understand something. When I was 12 years old, I didn't even know what marijuana was. Okay? I still don't know what cigarettes and alcohol really feel or taste like. I was raised differently than that man, okay? But understand something. I believe that man was saved. And his life was changing. And yet, there are other people that might look and say, well, he looks pretty rough. Maybe so, but you should have seen him before. See what I'm saying? And we got to be careful, because sometimes we walk around the orphanage going, what's wrong with you? Well, we're judging that person based off of ourselves and our ideal of what we think Christians should look like. And yet you might not know it, but God, the Father, might be saying, oh, don't you dare talk to him like that. I pulled him out of the slime pit. You were raised in a, you know, God-fearing home. I pulled him out of the slime pit of despair. Don't you dare look down and say, you were way advanced just in some discipline areas of your life and your parents and whatnot. I mean, for me, I was brought to church since I can remember. And so, beloved, now are you the sons of God? It might not appear, but we shall be. There might be some background there that the other orphans don't know about. Anybody know what I mean when I say the other orphans don't know about? And it becomes real intimidating when all of a sudden, oh, pastor always wears a suit and always just knows what to say. And when I pray, it just comes out blah, blah, blah. And I don't feel like I'm... And orphans, listen, stop comparing yourself with the other orphans. All right? None of the other orphans died on a cross for you. Can I encourage you to look up to the one who did die on a cross for you? And remember that he knows. Now are you a child of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. There's coming a day when he's coming back. And by the time he comes back, every one of us are going to be like, wow, I see Jesus in you. Wow, I see God's love. And wow, I didn't even know all that about. There's going to be some beautiful stories. And we're going to see Christ in each and every one of those true Christians. And then verse 3 says, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. I do think that the orphan desires to be more like their Heavenly Father. I've said this a lot when I talk about this, but I picture it like God the Father, the King, picking me out of the orphanage and adopting me into his family and taking me home to his palace. And I sit down at this huge table. And there's my Heavenly Father who's just adopted me. And he says, and I want to introduce you and explain to you, this is my only begotten Son. And I just want you to behave like him. I just want you to be more and more like him. And for the rest of my life, I try to be like him. And so every man that hath this hope purifies himself even as he is pure. The Bible talks about things like, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And I see Jesus as the example. And I see Jesus as the example. And I see Jesus as the example. And I start to realize I just need to be like Jesus. What would Jesus do? How would he handle this situation? And every man that is adopted desires to purify himself as he is pure. That's what happens when you're saved. When you're saved, you have a relationship. And chapter 5, it says this. 1 John 5, verse 10. He that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself, the Holy Spirit. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. When you're saved, you know it. You could never, ever convince me that I was adopted into Tom Furze's family. I already told you that we look alike. I think we act alike sometimes too. I'm just convinced that I truly am biologically in his family, that I am his son. You could never convince me. And I think that one of the greatest things is that I know that he loves me. And you know what? When you're saved, you are related and it's permanent. And no matter what you do, you might get a good spanking. Oh, we can talk about that later. But he loves and therefore he does spank. But he doesn't beat. And the purpose of the spanking is so that we can have good fellowship, which is coming next. You see, relationship cannot change. However, the second half of the sermon is fellowship. And our fellowship, unlike relationship, our fellowship depends on us, and it can easily change. Our relationship doesn't depend on us. Salvation is up to God. And as long as God keeps his promises, I'm good to go. And God always keeps his promises. My relationship will not change. I am saved and it is permanent. But my fellowship with God can change. Look back at 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Fellowship is different. Fellowship is based on whether or not I'm right with him. If you and God are not as close as you were the day you got saved, guess who moved? Don't pretend. Don't lie to yourself. Don't deceive yourself. We deceive ourselves. Here's what happens. I'm saved, but I commit sin. And I do. I've been saved for many years, but I still sin. How about you? And I sin. But because my sin wasn't nearly as bad as Mr. Dave's sin, I don't think I need to confess it. That's where the problem starts. See what I'm saying? Daily confess to him. I don't confess to a human priest. But I confess to him. Daily confess to him. If we confess our sins. Now, I suppose if you get to be an aged Christian and you're a seasoned saint, it's possible that you might not have to have anything that you can think of for that day that you need to talk to him about. But most of us, especially in the early stages of adoption, there's stuff we need to pray to and talk to him about and say, Lord, I blew it. Lord, I was angry at one of the other orphans. Lord, I was unkind. Lord, I was selfish. Lord, I just fantasized some wickedness in my heart and mind. I'm guilty of gossip. I stole. I lied. I cheated. You want to stay in good fellowship? Daily confess. You know, a lot of times we make fun of the Catholics. And we say, all those Catholics. But you know what? I'll say this. They daily confess. They just confess to the wrong priest. But some of them are more honest about their confession than we are about ours. Daily confess to our mediator, Jesus Christ. Psalm 66 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But he has heard me. And so I need to confess daily. And if you've got some catch up to do, then take time to talk to him. Daily study his word. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Psalm 1 says, the blessed man is like a tree planted by the rivers of waters. And he meditates in the Word of God day and night. John 1:8 says, if you want good success, you need to meditate in God's Word. Study God's Word. Read God's Word every day. Understand that you don't need to understand the whole thing, but you need to be reading it. You need to be feeding on the Word of God. And if you think that's not true, I'm telling you that could be part of your problem. You need to read God's Word. If you're not enjoying your adoption that you have, it could be that you're just not reading and applying the Word of God. Most of us own more than one Bible. And there are people in this world that don't own one Bible. Study and read and let God's Word speak to you. And then daily, be crucified with Him. You say, what? That's exactly right. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Paul said, I die daily. Jesus said, take up your cross daily and follow me. You can't say, well, I did. Back there, March of 1997, I died and I allowed myself to be a sacrifice for God. No, it's daily. Every day. Why? Because every day I wake up and I still have this old nature called the flesh. Every day I have it. How about you? Every day I wake up with this thing, and this thing doesn't want to die. This thing doesn't want to be crucified. It wants to do its own thing. And it's easily offended. I get offended easily. Why? Because I don't die daily. If you die daily, then nothing can offend you. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing can offend them. But when you get offended easily, it's because you're... Listen, if you're dead, how can you be offended? The Bible says that we're to present ourselves as a living sacrifice to the Lord. That person just cussed you out. I know. But it's okay, because I die daily. And the truth is, I probably deserve to get cussed out. And it's okay. That offended me. Well, it's because we have something that's not dead. Walk up to a dead body and kick it. It won't kick you back. Am I making myself clear? I'm speaking to me as much as I'm speaking to you. Our fellowship is broken because we get angry at some of the other orphans. We get angry at some of the orphans that aren't even adopted yet. We get angry at the ones that have been adopted. And we get really perturbed when we find out that the other adoptees are not perfect. It's so frustrating when I stop. Jeff Pryor's not perfect. It makes me mad. Why can't he be perfect? It sure wouldn't irritate me so much if he was perfect. Perfect like me, right? I mean, that's really what we're thinking. If you'd be more like me, it's funny how people who sin differently than us seem to be more glaringly sinners than us. That's why we have to be crucified with Him. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. That's why I could say, honestly, if I ended up with some kind of terminal illness, I'm okay with it, because I'm already crucified with Christ. There's a song, I love Abigail Miller's song that she sings. Have you died? Have you died? Have you signed the warrant for your own execution? What a kind of a song is that? It's a Bible song. It comes straight out of the Bible. Have you died? Have you signed the warrant for your own execution? Have you allowed yourself to be crucified with Christ? He's our example. He said to die daily. He said, take up your cross and follow me. And when we are of that mindset, we walk close to Him. Why do you think Jesus could walk on this earth and put up with what He put up with? And die on a cross? Because He already was dead in His mind. He already had given Himself over to the Lord. He was already in God's will. And then also Mark 16:15 says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Acts 5:42 says, daily they preached and taught about Jesus Christ. Acts 1:8, ye shall be witnesses unto me. Daily witnessing. Yesterday, Aaron drove all the way from Wall and came down here and met me so that we could go out. He said, can we go out door knocking and talk to people and witness to them? Drove all the way from his home, all the way here. He said, where do you want to go? I said, let's go right here in Custer. We picked out a section of town, went to every door. I had one of these in my hand, knocked on the door, and didn't just say, hey, I want to invite you to Vacation Bible School. Although I had one of those flyers in my hand, I did invite them to Vacation Bible School if they had children. I said, hey, I want to talk to you about something that's more important, even if you don't go to our church ever, and that is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Went to door after door after door after door, and we did that. Can I tell you right now, when we first started, just like it always is, my flesh didn't really like the idea. What if they slammed the door in my face? What if they spit on me? Or what if they happened to say, oh, I heard about you, I don't like you, or whatever it might be. What if they sicked their dog on me? I don't know. My flesh didn't like it. I mean, I'm talking to complete strangers, door after door. I'm talking to complete strangers. Most of them I didn't know. But you know what both he and I said afterwards, and I told him, I said, you know what I find every time I have a conversation with someone and I witness to someone, when I'm done, I am so much happier than I was before. Because I have opportunity to talk about what Jesus has done for me. And for some reason, all those other things in life that seem so important just like vanish. Can I tell you something? It could be part of your problem is you don't witness. And it could be that you don't witness because you're not crucified and you haven't been studying and you haven't been confessing. And then lastly, daily walking with God. I'm going to keep your finger in 1 John 1, but I'm going to go all the way to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. And verse 33. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. You go back to the Garden of Eden. You know what God was originally doing with human beings? He was walking with them. When you walk with someone, guess what else you do? You talk. Miss Wilma used to call Joyce Speer and Karen Adams the walkie-talkies because they would always go walking. And so she just called them the walkie-talkies. You can't walk without talking. You just can't walk with somebody without talking. So let me ask you, do you walk with God? Because when you walk with God, you'll talk with God. And it says back there in 1 John 1, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. If we'll walk with him, we'll talk with him. And so it could be that there's some that don't even feel saved. And the reason why you've lost the feeling is because you haven't been using the fellowshipping. And the truth is, you didn't lose your salvation. You're saved, you're saved. But relationship is not the same as fellowship. I am always Tom Furze's son. But there has not always been the fellowship with Tom Furze. I am always God's son. But there hasn't always been the fellowship. And guess who moved? Guess whose fault that is? Walking with God. Talking with God. Fellowshipping. When we walk in the light as he is in the light, I'm walking with the Lord, and I'm talking with the Lord in my daily life. And you know what he says? Hey, see Joe over there? He needs to hear about me. Yes, sir. And I go talk to Joe. Why? Because I'm walking with him. If you're not in fellowship with the Lord, you're probably not talking about him. You're probably not witnessing for him, and you're probably not living a crucified life. You're probably not studying his word. And you're probably not confessing your own sin. I'm preaching to me as much as I'm preaching to you today. Number one, are you saved? Are you related? Are you born again? And secondly, and this is probably the bigger point for most of us, are you in fellowship with him? Are you walking with him? Let's bow our heads and our close our eyes for a moment.